One night at 17, Chris was cornered by two men. Feeling afraid, Chris pulled his gun and took a life. Chris at 17 was sentenced to life with no chance of parole. At 17, Chris was caught in the middle of a mess, and all for certain that his life was over as he once knew it. Our text tells us that Jesus was caught in the middle of a mess. Jesus is the main attraction, the man in the middle, hanging between two criminals dying on a cross at Calvary. Now, text tells us something about physical death. But if you study the text, if you come to Bible study, you would learn and realize that there is spiritual death in the process of the physical death. You see, spiritual death is more significant because it impacts a person while they're still living. Did you hear what I said? You see, if you come to church school, you would learn that a person can be physically alive and spiritually dead. A physical death is the separation of the soul from God. And spiritual death is a broken relationship with God. While these three bodies hang bleeding and dying at the place of the skull, soldiers crack jokes about Jesus. Some people cursed at Jesus, and some women were seen and heard crying for Jesus. Now, if you would attend Thursday Bible class, you would learn that both of the criminals asked for salvation. One asked, however, in sarcasm, while the other asked in sincerity. Our text tells us one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us too. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Family, if you know God, say amen.
Amen.
If you know how God works, say amen again. Family, if you were to know God and how God works, you would know that whatever we personally think about this mess that Jesus finds himself in, guess what? Jesus is merely traveling through the mess and not being driven or held hostage by the mess. Why? Because of the power of God in Jesus. You see, Jesus accepts the madness and the mayhem and the mess of the middle. Y'all who said how you know who God is and how God works, please don't miss your shout on this. You see, criminal number one merely wants Jesus to stop his physical pain, stop his physical death. Don't miss this, family. Some people don't know how to change their ways. They don't want to stop sinning. What they want is to stop hurting. That's what they want. They love misbehaving, but they don't like paying the price for their misbehaving. Don't look at me funny. You know I'm right. Now, criminal number two says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Check this. The request from criminal number one was for Jesus to find no fault in him and to free him. But what criminal number two asked Jesus is to have mercy on me. What criminal number two asked for is grace. And criminal number two asked Jesus to acknowledge him as one of his followers. Family, and I, in my consecrated imagination, I suspect that criminal number two had heard about Jesus and what he had done. Criminal number two must have heard the predictions of Jesus. And how many of you know that faith comes by and hearing the word of God. Family, my spirit mind tells me that criminal number two had at some point heard about the miraculous power of Jesus and the blind seeing and the deaf coming back to life and those who were injured being healed. When criminal number two says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, it is a declaration of faith. It is believing that Jesus is the Messiah he claimed to be. Family, even though Jesus was dying with them, check this. Criminal number two believed that Jesus had the power to establish his kingdom. And that he had God authority to change the direction of his situation. How many of you believe that God has the power to change the direction of your situation? I told you earlier about 17-year-old Chris Wilson from D.C. who got caught up in the middle of a mess by pulling his pistol and shooting another brother, and as a result got charged, a life charge without parole. Well, after many years of incarceration, with only 2 hours a day out of his cell, Chris began to remember the spiritual teachings of his grandmama, who taught him to trust, to trust in the Lord. Chris got his spirit and his emotional mind focused, and Chris developed for himself what he called a master plan. The master plan consisted of Chris earning his GED and continuing to educate himself by reading and writing. And Chris even became an academic mentor for other inmates. One day, Chris went before the Board of Parole. And check this out. The same judge who sentenced Chris to life behind bars was sitting on that parole committee. And the judge began to read of the accomplishments and was impressed at what Chris had done. This is what the judge says to Chris. I may be going against my better judgment, but I will have mercy and grant you parole. But if you prove me wrong, Chris Wilson, if you mess up, I will make sure that you'll never see the daylight outside of your cell again. Family, when I thought about Chris and his implementing of his master plan that caused the judge to have mercy and to grant him parole, I also thought about the criminal number two on the cross next to Jesus. Pilate, the judge and jury, also saw in criminal number two that he was a common crook and should be sentenced to death. But Jesus, by the master's plan, the master's plan, somebody say the master's plan, offered criminal number two mercy and paroled the man to paradise. Don't miss your shout this evening. It was no accident, family, that the judge who sentenced Chris to life was the same one who showed him mercy, giving Chris another chance at a fresh start in life. There was no accident. And it's no accident that the Lord of glory was being crucified next to criminal number two. It was no accident that God Almighty was presiding over the scene at Calvary. Don't miss your shout this morning. All that God had decreed had come to pass exactly as God had intended. How unlikely was it for the Holy One, the Holy One, to be hanging out with the unholy? Huh? It's no accident that the Holy One of God hung around with you and me back in the day and even now in our unholy acts. It's no accident that God is there. If you were to check, fact check, you would know that God does God's best work in unholy places with unholy people. Do I have a witness? You know what, where you were. You know what you were doing. You know what mess you were in when the Lord showed up and you got saved. Do I have a witness? You know what was going on when you got healed. You know what was happening when God showed you favor. You got another chance. You know what was happening when your rent got paid and you didn't have any money. Your children got food. You got a job that you weren't expecting. You know where you were. You were blessed by the master's plan. check this. Criminal one and criminal two were equally near Jesus. Get that picture. Criminal one, criminal two, Jesus. Criminal one, dying. Criminal two, dying, Jesus. They were equally near Jesus and had the opportunity to be delivered. They both had equal opportunity. Your crowd, your crew, your posse, your diva chicks were all equally close to Jesus when it was going down. Just like you and me. Just like you, they needed grace. Just like you, they needed peace. Just like you, they needed forgiveness. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. Just like you and me, they needed healing. They needed a way out of their mess. Of the two criminals on the cross, one died as he lived, while the other repented of his sin, believed on Jesus, called on the Lord for mercy. Somebody shout mercy. Mercy. Because of God's master plan of mercy, Jesus Christ had mercy on criminal number two and promised him paradise. Check this out. You see, in the salvation of the dying thief, we have a clear view of victorious grace. Victorious grace. In the dying thief, number two, we have a clear view of God's victorious grace. Grace planned salvation. Grace provided salvation. Victorious grace that overcomes hard hearts and resentful spirits. Victorious grace that destroys hate. Grace that starts, grace that continues, and grace that finishes our salvation. See this in the text, that the criminal's conversation took place before Jesus died, Brother Sean. Salvation for criminal number two took place before Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead. The thief cried out, "Lord," before Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Come on, get quick. God deliberately arranged for criminal number two to receive salvation to teach us not to glorify in human instrumentality, but divine agents. I know I just used maybe one or two 50-cent words, but let me teach you for a moment. Holy water. Holy handkerchiefs, laying hands, holy prayers are mere human instruments, a tool of the Almighty. Do you see it? If you miss it, nothing happens unless God makes it happen. I I don't care what prophet or prophetess you go to. I don't care what oil, where you buy it from. If God doesn't say change coming, ain't coming. You take that to TBN. Now check this out. That leads to a bigger mess. The biggest mess is that Jesus had something else he had to deal with. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus prayed, and it says he prayed that in his sweat was mixed drops of blood. Y'all remember that, right? When he said, Lord, take this cup from me. Jesus had to deal. He had to do some reconciling. Jesus had to deal with within himself about what he would do at Calvary. Jesus knew that he came to die. That wasn't the issue. Jesus knew, he said that long time ago, that in the word that he had come to be crucified or to die for humanity's sake. But here is the issue. Jesus had to reconcile if he was going to Calvary as the Son of Man or the Son of God. You come to Bible study, you get it real. You see, as the Son of Man, Jesus could not do what needed to be done because he would be doing it under his own strength, under his own power, as limited as Jesus was in his humanity, in his flesh. Salvation, grace, and forgiveness can only take place if Jesus is willing to be used as an instrument of the Master's plan. Word reminds us that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you see it? The agony of God in Jesus comes face to face with sin in order to fulfill the Master's plan. Don't miss your shout. You see, the gateway to paradise, the gateway to eternal life, the gateway into the presence of God is the gift of mercy, the gift of grace and forgiveness. The gateway into the presence of Lord is a blessing of another chance of healing and favor. It's all a part of the Master's plan at Calvary. I know some of you are wondering what happened to Brother Chris Wilson at the end. Well, Chris now lives in Baltimore. Check this, he lives and he works in East Baltimore, and he is the owner and the founder of the Barclay Investment Corporation. A multi-service enterprise specializing in residential and commercial contracting work. Chris being set free and his fresh start was made possible by the mercy of the circuit court judge. And criminal number two now resides in the kingdom of heaven, made possible by the judge of the mercy seat. Do I have a witness? Chris could have, would have never had an opportunity, the second chance, if he had not kept to the Master plan. Family, my life and your life is what it is because of the Master's plan. Do I have a witness? If your life is failing and falling, it's because you're not following the Master's plan. If you get on the Master's plan, the Lord will fix your life. The Lord will change your life. Do I have a witness? If you follow the Master's plan, if you walk by faith and not by sight, if you follow the Master's plan, the Lord will take care of you. Do I have a witness? If you follow, lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path by way of the Master's plan. The Master's plan. The Master's plan. Somebody help me preach this thing. Say the Master's plan. The Master's plan. Mercy was there, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Where? At Calvary, following the Master's plan. Stand to your feet if you're able. Stand to your feet. This Lenten season, and for sure, Holy Week, is about the Master's plan. The Master's plan. God's plan. Knowing from the beginning of time of what would take place when Jesus went to Calvary. Knowing what would happen when we were in the middle of our mess, in the middle of our situation, in the middle of our struggle, the plan was already set for our lives to be transformed. Today is no different. Today is the planned day that you may be ready now to give your life to Christ. You may be ready today to begin that walk of salvation with Jesus. God already knows. The stage has been set. All you have to do is complete the course. If today you're ready to begin that walk in a public way, a public walk of relationship with Jesus Christ, come to the altar. If you're ready today to begin your walk of faith as a body of believers, part of the Goshen Church, come to the altar. But know today, now is the time, and this is the place. Jesus is the answer. Is there one? Is there one today ready to begin to walk with Christ? Is there one ready to join his body of believers of Goshen? If you're satisfied with the course of life by way of the Master's plan, why don't you give a hand praise and celebration? Come on, celebrate. Celebrate the Master's plan working and moving in your life. The altar's open for prayer. Come now. As Reverend Dr. First Lady Janae Moore leads us to the throne of grace.